Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
The belief in curses isn't just about what's real. It's about what we think is lurking, waiting for us. Sometimes the scariest thing isn't the curse itself, but the fact that we start to see it everywhere. A quote by Judith Richardson. Welcome to Grimly!
We talked about all these delicious cinematic
movies,
TV shows. There's a lot of good stuff out there right now.
Yeah, but just that real quick.
Yeah. Is this just Halloween-y music?
Yeah.
Our first Halloween episode. It actually wasn't the song I was looking for.
Wait, this is a Halloween episode?
This is our first October episode.
Oh, this will be the first October episode. Okay, spooky season. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
A lot's been happening.
Yeah, we have been busy doing a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had my birthday last week, so that was busy.
I know September is busy.
But now...
October's gonna be... busy.
Yeah, there's that though. But we are in Halloween season.
Will you find the song that you wanted to play and just play the fucking song that you wanted to play? Now I need to know. Why are you doing that?
Because it's funny.
While you're doing that. Oh. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do. I literally want to question it.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. Wait.
Yep, that was the one. Okay. That was the right one. I think that was just didn't the right one. The words.
Yeah, well, I just had to fast forward it.
What is that from?
I think it's from a really old Disney. It looks old.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is chaotic.
It's really like taking me back to my millennial childhood.
Yeah, yeah. It is time for the sluts and the weirdos to reunite and take these streets.
I think being a slutty weirdo is the best.
Slutty weirdos are great.
What have you started thinking about your own Halloween plans?
I have bought tickets already.
And have you thought about a costume?
The thing I'm going to is at the Museum of Pop Culture.
Cool.
Formerly known as EMP.
Yes, I've actually never been there. Ah, that's not true. I went in there once to do an interview to be like some kind of like a manager.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't offer me the job. It was a weird place.
It is a weird place.
I think it's called Pop.
It's Museum of Pop Culture now.
Okay, so they had the restaurant called Pop on the inside. It's probably very different now.
Got it. No, so they're having a big Halloween thing. It is disco murder mystery themed.
Okay.
So I feel like you have to kind of dress on par with that.
Okay.
Which is like a disco vibe.
You could be any horror genre, anything from the 70s. 70s was disco?
Yeah, 70s was disco.
You could be real life horror from the 70s, or you could be movie time horror from the 70s.
I would definitely not be real life horror from the 70s.
You could be fucking, I don't know who's, I mean, so many of them. Like all the actual monsters.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. No, so it's based on a movie. I think it's called Red Disco.
Oh.
That was from the 70s. It's a whole murder mystery thing.
Cool.
And it's like a big party.
Oh.
So it should be pretty fun.
All right. What are you going to do? What are you going to wear?
I don't know yet. Okay. I'm pondering.
I just gave you some guidelines, not ideas specifically, but inspiration, I'll say.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. I'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like she wants my.
No. I do.
We're going to have to keep working on this. We're going to workshop.
Yeah, we will workshop. I'll figure something out. I got some time. It's about a month away.
You do.
Yeah, but I'm excited. It'll be really fun. I was going to invite you, but I'll...
You've invited me every Halloween forever, and I never, go.
But this year, you actually have an excuse.
Because I know, that's true.
Literally the day after your surgery on your ankle.
It's like the week. Oh, the party's the day after?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's before Halloween?
Yeah, it's the weekend before Halloween. Okay. Halloween's on a Thursday or something.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go anyway. But listen, next year, actually, I was in the shower this morning and I made my husband get up off the couch to come and listen to me tell this story. And be like, I need to talk to you. We come in here. And he came in and I said, we have some friends that are getting married this year and they're going to do a Halloween party.
Oh, right.
As like their reception,
which is a very fun idea.
I think it's a cute idea. So we need to start thinking about our fucking costumes
for next year.
And he was like, you, this is why I'm here right now. So you, cause you said we need to think about our costumes for next Halloween and it's not even Halloween yet. said, yes. So next year, Missy.
We got it. We'll figure it out.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll finally celebrate Halloween.
Halloween's the best holiday.
Okay,
fine. Even though you disagree. But
no, I don't. It's a lot of work. That's all.
Effort. It's a lot of effort. Yes. Yeah, you're a minimal effort person, which is fine.
Always.
Literally. Yeah. Dragging you by your hair through this podcast.
It is fun, though. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, it should be pretty fun. But okay, that's what I'm doing this year.
Cool.
We shall see what I dress up as.
I'll keep us posted.
Sure, everyone's dying of anticipation.
Okay, I have to give a shout out because I went to see Speak No Evil.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so fucking good.
Right.
That I just need everyone to know. Everyone that I know needs to know and already knows how good it is. And now everyone that you know also knows how good I think it is.
I mean, we mainly know the same people.
Well, mostly.
That's the problem when you've been friends for like 20 years.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Loved it.
No, I heard it's really good. I will go see it. I just haven't yet.
Okay.
I've been a busy lady. Yeah, a lot for me.
It's just really good.
Got my back.
But now I feel like I'm going to build it up so much you're going to be like, meh. And that's going to annoy me. Because I want you to know, I didn't know anything about it. I knew nothing about it.
Okay.
So I just went in blind.
Right.
I was just like, trying
to
scream. I think
not knowing anything about it is also going in blind, you know, just.
I had no expectations. And I was like, this is fucking infuriatingly good. I'm super angry. I mean, it's good. It's very satisfying. It ends in a very satisfying way. It's good. All the things.
That's what I was wondering.
There's highs and lows. No, it's so good. Okay, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Even at the end, you're just like, oh, that's.
Yeah. Lovely. Like, damn.
Full circle. It's good.
Okay, good to know. Okay, that's. I'm glad it ends well.
Yeah,
I feel like if you like the ending, I'll probably also like the ending.
It's really good. I'm telling you, you're gonna love it. It's really good.
Speaking of topics of movies, This is our segue into what we're talking about today.
Oh, okay.
I figured since this is our first Halloween episode, and something that I always correspond with Halloween is movies.
Okay.
Right.
I did not know that you were going to do a movie. Segue. I'm going to talk about this movie and she doesn't know this and I don't care.
I was talking to you telepathically. I was like beaming right into fucking forehead about it.
Halloween.
Movies.
Totally. Everyone.
Yeah.
That candy and, you know.
Costumes.
Yes, a ghost costume. A sheet over the old noggin.
That is your low effort costume for sure. Sad sheet.
It's retro.
It wouldn't even be a white one. It'd be like fucking blue.
It's retro.
Okay, whatever.
Classic.
It's classic. I'll give you that. But I figured since starting up Halloween, movies are such a big part of Halloween, horror movies in general, I think. They're always highly debated when it comes to horror movies specifically because I think horror and fear is so subjective.
Sure.
Like you just said, I don't know if you'll think this movie is scary. I thought it was scary. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought we could talk about today is cursed movies.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Imagine, is The Crow on the list?
No.
Oh, that's not a Halloween movie.
Two of these are probably more Halloween-esque movies. So I think the idea of a cursed movie could mean so many different things.
True.
You know.
Absolutely.
And so what I tried to do was I tried to find a broad spectrum of cursing.
Okay.
Quote unquote. We're going to talk about three different movies, okay. three different sets. Okay. You'll probably know some of them. Probably not the first one, though.
Okay.
Wait. What?
Did we introduce ourselves yet?
Oh, shit. You're right.
Hi. Welcome to Grimly.
Welcome to Grimly. I am Missy.
I'm Meg.
And we know what we're doing.
So good at this.
This is episode 34. We should probably know what to introduce ourselves, for Christ's sake.
There's no order. There's no script.
We wouldn't read from a script anyway, so let's be real.
I literally think I could use like a whiteboard in front of me that's like dink, 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 just to point talking points.
Okay.
A general outline, and then I could probably skip, like stick to it.
Do you want me to type you an outline?
No. I'm not tasking you. I'm just saying if I'm supposed to. If we should really start having a conversation in an order and like behave right. like podcast.
We need a podcast PEMDAS, as exactly. one would say.
Yes.
Yeah, we could talk about that totally. On air. Yeah.
Let's talk about the movies.
Let's talk about some.
We were so close.
Curse okay. movies. It's okay. But no, we're officially I appreciate announced you
and introed. We're intro.
Yeah. Yeah. You know where you are now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, you know where you are. I'm not your mother. Okay. Sorry. The first movie is a movie called The Stalker, or Stalker.
Oh, I'm already scared, honestly. That sounds fucking terrifying.
It's not what you think. I'm going to put that out right now. Okay. It. Sorry. This is a famous sci-fi film.
Not what I expected already, right?
Yep. Okay. It is set in a bleak dystopian future. It follows a mysterious guide only known as The Stalker.
Okay.
Who leads two clients, the writer and the professor. They don't have like actual names during this.
Right. Three. When is this from?
Huh?
When is this movie from?
1970s.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, this movie is a cinema yes. type of movie.
This I was getting that vibe.
This is a film. We've was talked it? About how we're not those types of people.
It depends. I like it.
Yeah.
You need a variety
right.
of things to
like
entertain.
My favorite movie is Jurassic Park.
It's so good. It's so good.
I'm not going to pretend I am a like cinephile type of person, right? I'm not.
But you could appreciate.
I can appreciate,
Where
for sure.
was this movie made? Was this the U.S.?
No.
Film? Okay. I was also thinking it didn't feel.
Soviet Union.
Okay. All right. Go on.
Yeah. We'll get into it. Okay.
That's important context. Thank you.
Yeah. So the stalker's leading two clients, the writer and the professor, through a dangerous forbidden area called The Zone. The Zone is a mysterious place where access has been blocked off by the government after what people believe is an extraterrestrial event in the Zone.
Okay. Cool. Sounds cool.
And at the heart of this place in the Zone lies something only referred to as the Room, and is believed to grant the deepest desires to anyone who enters it.
Okay. Honestly, sounds interesting.
It sounds like a very interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. So, but also boring because it's probably just taking place in this room from like 80% of the movie.
No.
Okay, nice.
It's outside.
Did you watch it?
I tried.
Okay.
Another thing about me and movies. I fucking hate long movies.
How long is it?
I think it's like almost 3 hours long.
It's pretty long. From the 1970s? My God.
It's also not in English.
Oh, then there's no way you're going to watch it. My God.
It's a long movie. But this movie... I'm going to piss people off just by saying that.
I mean, I like subtitles also. Like, I love a subtitle.
Right. I mean, this movie is considered a masterpiece by a lot of people, especially people in the sci-fi community. This is like a big fucking deal.
Okay. An artsy.
Like I said, it is a film. It is cinema.
All right. It sounds interesting, though.
It's a very interesting premise.
Okay.
I just...
What goes wrong?
I couldn't do it.
Something must be going terribly wrong.
This movie, specifically, is directed by a man named Andrei Tarkovsky, who is considered to be one of the best directors in cinema history.
Cool.
Highly regarded by his peers.
A filmmaker.
He's a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
He creates dreamlike visual imagery. He's kind of has been referred to as like a poet on film.
That's cool.
By a lot of people. Yeah. He's a very highly regarded sci-fi director.
An artiste,
okay, some would say.
Cool. All right. It's like the guy that Carrie was banging in those later episodes of Sex and the City, you know? Alexander
Sorry,
Petrovsky.
When you said Carrie, I was thinking of Carrie.
Like horrors, Carrie.
Like the prom, Carrie. Yeah, no. I was like, who the fuck
Carrie
are you
Bradshaw,
doing?
Sorry. Carrie
sorry.
Bradshaw. This is Sex and the City detour. You know the one?
Yes, I yeah. do. Yeah. Artiste.
Yes. All right, he could get it, is what we're saying. I was gonna figure
out.
As
I like to say, he could ruin my body and my credit score.
So, he's got his own. He wouldn't. Yeah. He wouldn't do either. Okay, that's what I'm saying. He was a lover. Okay. He was.
Okay. Stop comparing him to this fucking fictional character.
That's who he is. I've decided.
Oh God. Okay. Stalker is kind of Andre's most widely known film. Partially because of the complications around making this film and the aftermath of it specifically.
Okay.
In 1976, the film was set to start filming in an area called Isfara, which is in the Soviet Union, but is now Tajikistan, okay, which is next to Uzbekistan and Afghanistan.
The other stands.
Other stands, yes. The first issue they run into on location is a massive earthquake.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Which wipes out all of these site locations they have scoped out.
That's bad.
Yeah. And like the earthquake happened when they were there.
That's, it would have been dangerous too. It's like not.
Yeah. So this is a story where I feel like if I was in this story and I was part of this film, I'd be like, are we fucking cursed?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just the shit that's happening. Just what the hell is going on here? So just to give you an idea.
Okay. This is an earthquake that wipes out your filming locations is a pretty big
your
blow.
Your site locations is a very big blow. And also because you got over there, right? You traveled.
Pretty big bummer.
The new location for filming was in Tallinn, Estonia, where filming began in 1977.
Okay, a year later.
A year later. During filming, Tarkovsky and his first cinematographer, a guy named Grigory Ruberg. There's a lot of ski names and Soviet names, so if I fuck them up, I fuck them up.
So you're doing great.
They were, so these guys were not seeing eye to eye. Because
who are they again? It was him and then some other dude?
So Andrei Tarkovsky, the director, yes, and his cinematographer, Grigory Ruberg.
Those two need to be aligned, I think.
Yes, they do. They do. So they were seeing eye to eye because Andrei kind of had a tendency to want to do everything himself.
Micromanager.
Yes, including filming and setting up shots.
Okay, but if he's like the guy that does the art, right, maybe he should just do both jobs.
I would say so too, but you know.
That sounds annoying, to be honest.
Right.
As the cinematographer.
Yeah, Ruberg started drinking on set. He's like, fuck it. He's like, you're doing my job. I'm just going to hang out, I guess.
Yeah, why not?
And he was also...
But this is Russia in the 70s.
This is the Soviet Union. It's not even Russia.
Oh.
It's a different type of Russia.
Okay.
It's like deep Russia.
I was like, I don't know that.
It's like a red Russia.
I don't know what that's like, but yeah.
It's not good.
He was just like, it's fine.
He's just like, okay, I'm just going to start drinking. And then he was also starting to get acquainted with some ladies on set.
Okay.
I mean... I guess what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah, he says, fuck it.
Pretty much.
Do it your damn self.
Exactly. Tarkovsky was also very nervous about the film stock during this time because he just felt like something was off with it.
Okay.
But for some reason, while shooting Stalker on a new type of film, which is a Kodiak 5247, for all you people who follow film, I don't know.
Does that mean anything to you? Oh, you mean that's a different kind of film?
It was a new kind of film.
Okay.
That he never really used before. So for some reason during filming this movie and he was like worried about the film, they weren't checking their rushes. And what a rush is in film is it's like your daily, whatever you film for the day, you go through and you check the film to make sure everything's okay.
Captured,
not blurry. You know, stuff like
totally.
That. Yeah. He wasn't doing that for some reason.
Is he because he's drinking?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe just because he was just too busy being the cinematographer and the director.
Oh, I see. Oh, got it. It was that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
The director.
Yeah, the director. He wasn't checking the rushes of the film to make sure that everything was looking okay. Shooting is wrapped up of the Stalker. Stalker. Sorry. Not the Stalker.
Okay.
And Tarkovsky is back in Moscow. He's finally checking the rushes. And everything is dark and green on film.
Everything?
Mm-hmm. Oh, some describe the film as being shot in an aquarium.
It sounds like they just didn't know what the fuck they were doing with that film.
Maybe.
You said it was a new film.
It was a newer film he had never used, yeah.
Okay, I'm already ruling this out as a haunting. Go on.
No, I'm not necessarily saying this is a haunting. I'm just saying like a cursed
thing. Okay, cursed
thing could be very different.
It could be your... We are cursed with your stupidity, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Like, when I think of curses, I think of just every step of the way something goes wrong and you're like, fuck, what has happened? Is the universe trying to give me a middle finger?
Okay.
For whatever reason. Right. That's what I think of curses. That's what I was trying to explain earlier.
It fits the box. All
right. Yeah. Sticking
it's
a
fucked.
Box.
Fucked. Universe.
It's fucked. Yeah. You're just like, fuck me. That's fuck bad. This. Fuck this film.
Yeah. The film is done at that point. Personally, I don't know. I'm just like, we tried this twice now.
Yeah. Minimal effort from you. You're not going back.
Quitter.
It's okay. It's fine. So the negatives of the first shooting of Stalker are burns, so they no longer exist.
Yeah.
He was just like, fuck it, burn it. I don't care. Tarkovsky fires Ruberg and then kind of blames him for what happened to the film.
Okay.
Which seems a little unfair because he was the one kind of taking over the camera a lot.
It could have been his fault, though, for setting it up incorrectly.
For sure. I mean, it could have been everybody's fault. Who knows?
Yeah, it seems like a huge waste of time that nobody caught that earlier.
Yeah, maybe just okay. Check your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. When April 1978, Andrei Tarkovsky has a heart attack, but survives.
Okay. The next year. Okay.
Yeah, the next year. Just blow after blow.
Oof, stress.
He was hospitalized and wasn't allowed any visitors for some reason. Probably just because it's fucking Soviet Russia. He's stewing in the hospital for weeks, thinking about this movie and how it was just like completely fucked. He leaves the hospital and decides they're going to completely reshoot the entire movie again.
Wow.
He's like, fuck it, we're redoing it.
Oh, he believes in it.
He does, yeah. I mean, you gotta give him credit. With half of the budget spent, over half of the budget spent, in a new cinematographer, the second shooting of Stalker begins in 1978. During filming, some scenes were shot with a nearby river in Tallinn that was having industrial waste dumped into it upstream from where they were shooting.
From what?
Industrial waste?
Yeah, just from where?
From a factory. It was the 70s. People just threw stuff in the river.
Okay.
And they were also shooting at other industrial sites that had some chemical stuff.
Got it. Okay.
And I mean, it's not like it was regulated back then.
Sure, they're filming at the place.
Yeah, so they're like filming in this water a lot.
Ew, okay.
And there was like a person who is still alive that worked on set just talking about it smelled really weird. Like, it didn't look bad. He was like, but you could just tell the smell was just weird in the area. But I mean, there are people in the water doing multiple shots acting. They're in the water.
Oh dear.
So this causes people to develop rashes.
Okay.
And become ill during production.
Yeah.
And this also happens in other parts of the film when they're shooting in like other industrial areas. It's like toxic fumes. People are getting sick. People are getting rashes. It's not good. So this film goes through multiple script changes.
Jesus, it's a mess.
It's a mess. So multiple script changes and reshoots and a different crew at some point. But Stalker is finally finished in 1979. So 3 years after the first shoot.
All things considered, not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the first Lord of the Rings took 3 years to shoot and there wasn't a reshoot.
That was a good movie, though. Sorry. Like, I'm not watching this, but I'm just like, that was involved. And
don't piss off the nerds, man. We need the nerds on our side.
There's some, okay. There are nerds
here. I think there's some nerds here. We don't want to make them mad. Don't defile their masterpiece, okay?
All right. I just, like, want people to be efficient, that's all. And professional. Is that too much to ask?
I think in the 70s it was.
Okay, fine. We're going through a lot in the Soviet Union.
In the Soviet Union, in Soviet Russia, for
sure. Actually, like, bless them for making art
right
at the time.
So Andrei Tarkovsky would later speak on the fact that it almost felt like they needed all this stuff to go wrong and, like, a little bit of this curse with the movie in order for it to become what it became.
Okay.
It is often regarded as a masterpiece now, and it has a massive cult following to this day.
All right, I'm going to watch
it. That's what I'm saying. Let's not piss off people.
I'm going to watch it.
No, you're not.
I will. I like a foreign film. I live with the subtitles every day, 24/7.
You do always have the subtitles on.
I got no problems. But the thing is, I have to now commit 3 hours to reading and watching at the same time, which is hard for somebody who likes hard. To scroll.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Mm. And he is a person that does like really long shots.
Yeah.
Of like, there's not like really a whole lot going on.
Like, you got it.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
Right.
Okay. That's boring.
But like, it's supposed to be something for some people.
Probably people on mushrooms or something.
I think we're just lowbrow bitches who don't get it.
Okay.
But you know what? That's fine. Because it's not for everybody. Not everything is for everybody.
It's true.
Go pretend to like it.
Like this podcast.
This podcast is for nobody. Okay. So along with the movies being so highly regarded, there's also talks of the Tarkovsky curse. Over the years, many of the people involved in this production, including Tarkovsky, the actor who played the writer, and Tarkovsky's wife, Larissa, died from cancer.
That was probably going to happen anyway.
Yeah, probably because all the chemical runoff and stuff. They all, like, die in their 40s and 50s.
I'm not saying early death was going to... I'm just saying a lot of us die of cancer. That's, you know, that's sort of what it is.
I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie that died of cancer.
There's a lot of people that die of cancer anyway.
Okay, way to be fucking a bummer.
Like both of our parents.
Yeah, both of our parents.
It's pretty common. Like,
it's common,
I don't think
yes.
that counts as curse, but fine. It's just statistics.
I think, well, so there's another movie called Genghis Khan, which was John Wayne. And they filmed that movie at a nuclear testing site. And a fuck ton of those people also got a lot of cancer. Like, I mean, different types of cancer.
That does sound specifically linked. But a man's wife that was the actress?
She was an actress in it.
Was she in the water?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. That counts.
No, there's a lot of people that were in the water that got really sick.
Everything
afterwards.
Counts for them. They all count.
Yeah, the fumes, the water. It just were constantly in different areas that had, like,
it's bad.
Toxic runoff.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm not saying it's not related, but I'm saying
okay,
it probably
I didn't
is
understand.
Related.
I thought it was just, like, the guy that acted in it, his wife. It's like, that doesn't seem
No.
Stretch.
Sorry, Tarkovsky's wife was the one who got sick of cancer.
She was
cancer.
An actress.
She was an actress in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Tarkovsky dies of lung cancer in December 28th, 1986, which is funny because there is a shot in Stalker where they're, like, kind of panning over the water. And there's, like, all this, like, random shit in it. Like, there's, like, an old gun, those tin stuff. But they, like, pan over it. And there's, like, a sheet from a day calendar. And the date was December 28th.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a little, I love that.
Right? It's, like, a weird, creepy little tidbit. Like, it obviously means nothing.
A weird manifestation.
A weird manifestation. Mm-hmm. And so there's also a bit of a conspiracy theory about Tarkovsky's death in general, because in the 90s, a former USSR, like, agent came forward and said that he was actually told to kill Tarkovsky.
Okay.
Because actually at some point later in his life, Tarkovsky was exiled from the USSR, probably for being an artist and being a little more outspoken, is from what I've understood. Mm-hmm. And so this USSR agent says that I think the original story is, like, he injected him with some radiation or something that caused him to get cancer.
Oh, okay.
Or some sort of poison. But, like, I mean, that conspiracy theory is blown up on the internet.
No one said that they did that? Or there's just people that say that?
No, there was an agent that said that he did that.
Okay.
But how he did it has blown up. Mm. And, like, there's not really a ton of sources that can prove or disprove it, obviously.
Okay.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, because, you know, Russian agents during that time did some fucked up shit, so okay. Do American agents, but I think it's just an interesting little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all a conspiracy theory at this point.
I love a conspiracy theory.
I know you do.
I do. I will entertain them all. Love it. Give it to me.
Yeah, but interested. You can entertain them, but you're not going to believe them all, right?
I believe some of them.
Yeah, I think we all do. But I'm saying this is a conspiracy theory. Whether or not's true, I don't think it can be proven specifically.
Hmm.
So that is definitely a type of curse, I think you would say. That
totally.
Like, just shit keeps going south on this film. Like,
absolutely.
Like, what is happening? Why is everything going wrong? But nothing really necessarily happened on set.
Okay.
The next movie we're going to talk about, one of the worst things happened on set.
Oh, no. Okay. The first one could have been just karma.
Karma for what?
Him. I don't know. Andre.
Yeah, but... Okay.
Who knows? I'm not to know.
I don't know. Otherwise, he'd just seem like a director that maybe had a bit of an ego, but, like, what director doesn't?
I don't know his life.
That's fair. I don't either. Okay, so the next film we're going to talk about is the Twilight Zone movie.
The Twilight Zone movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The 1983 film is an anthology consisting of four segments, each based on a classic episode from The Twilight Zone, the TV show, that started in 1959. They all had like a modern twist to them. The segments were directed by John Landis, Steven Spielberg, Joe Dante, and George Miller. So it's pretty big names.
Yes.
On this film. Infamously, the film is widely now known because of the tragic and fatal accident that happened on set while filming one of the segments of the movie called Time Out. Do you know anything about this?
Nope.
Okay. The premise for this specific segment was a man with deep prejudices finds himself in a series of alternate realities where he experiences the persecution he inflicts on others. First as a Jewish man in Nazi-occupied France, then as a black man being hunted by the Ku Klux Klan, and finally as a Vietnamese man during Vietnam War. So that's the premise of the segment. And then at the end, we would kind of see him like learn a lesson. There'd be kind of some sort of redemption arc for this segment, which I feel like this probably wouldn't fly today.
No, but like if you don't get your shit together after experiencing any second of any of those things.
Right.
You can jump off a bridge.
Like, seriously. No, I agree. Yeah. There's a beer. Can't remember the brewery, who they are, but they have that Nazi punks fuck off beer.
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's a great beer. It's like a Pilsner. Like, I wish I could remember the brewery right now.
Nice.
But this is Seattle Brewery. It's a local one. I'll look it up later. Something that should be noted during this era of film is that safety was not really a priority for filming, and it was kind of the Wild West because studios didn't have as much of a grip on filmmakers. And it was kind of like they also didn't have like as much oversight. And what I mean here is that filmmakers were really pushing the envelope with what they could do in film creativity. But at the same time, shit wasn't as regulated as it was today.
Sure, yeah.
Early 80s.
Wild West, yeah, totally.
Yeah. John Landis was the director of this segment, and it is talked about a lot during this time that Landis was a little erratic and immature, and he didn't take safety super seriously. So just to give you an idea of like kind of the films he directed before this, it was Animal House and The Blues Brothers. Hence the immaturity, I would say.
I just think it fits. Like,
it really does. He was 31, so he should
be wild. It's I'm done.
Those movies are the movies that when you were 20 and you had a boyfriend and you wanted to just be like, we can watch this. I'll be cool. I'll be the cool girlfriend. I'll pretend to think these movies are fucking funny when they're not.
Oh, no.
Do you not experience that?
I don't think I dated a man who was obsessed with either of those, but Dave will talk to you about Animal House for sure.
Yeah, it's a bro film for mm-hmm. sure. Dave's not a bro. I don't think he's a bro.
No, but they all just like that one.
They do really like that one. Mm-hmm. It's not a great movie. If you go back and rewatch it, you're like, damn, this is kind of offensive.
Oh, for sure.
Not to be a wet blanket. The final scene of the Time Out sequence was supposed to end like this. The final sequence was set during the Vietnam War. Bill is the character's name. He's played by Victor Mero, who was stuck in the body of a Vietnamese man, was supposed to save two Vietnamese children from a U.S. air raid during the Vietnam War.
Okay, casual.
Right. Fuck. The scene involved Bill carrying the children across a river while avoiding explosions, gunfire, and it's also showcasing a moment of selflessness and redemption for him. Mm. And the shot would also include a helicopter.
Okay.
During this sequence.
Sure.
River, explosions, helicopter.
Yes.
All three things. And this is before, like, CGI was...
So they got to create... There has to be a helicopter there.
Yeah, you're creating the scene in real time.
Helicopter. Real helicopter. Some kind of explosion. Okay.
Yes. So during a test run of this sequence with just the helicopter and the
Do you know where it was filmed?
California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looks so much like Vietnam.
Okay. There was like this river. It was like more like a creek, I would call it, because it's like very shallow. And like on the other side, there's like mountains. You know what? It's 80s.
Okay.
I don't think they care about the authenticity.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. I was like, where are we in the world? Like,
right. Okay, right. It's funny because there was another part of this movie too where Victor Mero, the guy playing Bill, he's like trudging through the water, like kind of waist high, and there's all these palms that they have planted in the water.
Yes.
And he's supposed to walk up on these U.S. soldiers, and he's like trying to wave his arms, but they start shooting at him.
Okay.
But he dives out of the way, like right before. They're using live rounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, safety was not a thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like,
you're waiting for something to happen.
I mean, it still happens on sets now.
I know. And they're like way more regulated. So.
Okay. Fuck.
During a test run of this kind of ending sequence, it was just a sequence with just a helicopter and kind of everything else going off in the background.
All right.
The helicopter pilots, they talked to John Landis, talking about how the explosions were a little rough. Hmm. And they're like, hey, this is maybe not good.
Okay.
And Landis responds with, oh, just you wait. You haven't seen anything yet.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this man was high on coke the entire time of this movie.
Oh, my God. They're like, hey, you know, like, the explosion stuff's coming a little close to the helicopter. Like, could me? And he's like, oh, whoa, it's just getting warmed up. Like, what the fuck, dude? Okay, I'm pissed. This man in prison? Go on.
Oh, John Landis? Fuck no.
Hollywood.
Right? There are two child actors for this sequence named Micah Din Lee and Renee Xin Yi Chen, 6 and 7.
Oh my God, okay.
They're hired for this shot, this ending shot.
I'm getting anxious. You better fucking get on with it. I'm getting so concerned.
And their parents also expressed concerns about the safety of the shot.
Oh no.
So they are assured by the film crew that this will be just like a Disneyland ride, quote.
What the fuck?
Landis also didn't inform the parents that the kids would be working around explosions or an active helicopter until the parents brought the kids to set.
Okay.
The two child actors were also illegally hired to be on this movie by Landis because at the time you couldn't have children work on film sets after 8 p.m. and Landis wanted this shot done later at night.
Okay.
So it was like this person who works at this studio, like as a secretary, has an uncle who has a child this age that we need. Let's just give them money underneath the table, not get a permit, and bring them on.
Intentionally, like breaking the rules.
Intentionally breaking the rules.
Okay.
On July 23rd, 1982.
Why are there so many problems for like the way people are treated on set in this town?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Creative freedom, I guess. They just like can't.
Nobody gives a fuck about
people.
The people.
I agree. I agree. I also blame a little bit of cocaine.
Sure, all of it. It's like money, drugs.
80s. It's 80s.
Infamy. It gets trash.
Yeah.
Okay. But it happens every day.
Okay. It does still happen for sure.
Go on.
Okay. On July 23rd, 1982, 2:30 in the morning, filming began. Yeah.
Okay.
Filming began of this ending sequence. Victor Mero is concerned about the safety of the sequence and also the physical exertion that you would have to do it under because he would be carrying two children across the river with a helicopter flying over him and explosions going off around him. He's like, fuck, can I even do this? He's like middle-aged man.
Mm-hmm.
But Mero was a bit of a struggling actor at this time, and he didn't want to cause issues with John Landis. So he just decided to suck it up and let's just do the shot.
Yeah, everybody needs a paycheck. It's like,
yeah, I mean, he'd already been shot at.
Yeah.
Literally for this movie. So it's like, this is it, you know?
Yeah. Well,
you know, like, let's just wrap it up. Filming begins, and Mero is carrying the two children across the river. Explosions are happening all around him, and the helicopter is hovering above him with a spotlight on him. Suddenly, the explosions are too close to the helicopter, which causes it to malfunction, which causes it to crash down on Victor, Micah, and Renee.
Oh my God.
All three are killed instantly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Meg, I watched the video.
There's a video?
Yeah. So my main source for this was a series called Cursed Films.
Are you upset?
I had to pause.
Why is that footage out there?
It doesn't show anything. It's just
the before and
it's the abruptness.
No.
It happens so fucking fast. It's just like the helicopter's in the air and all of a sudden it's just
dives.
Like, you see the helicopter, you see the spotlight, you see the actors like, you know, kind of get across this river and all of a sudden the helicopter's just on top of them.
Oh, no.
It's so fucking quick. I don't get rattled. I got rattled from that.
Oh my God. Jesus.
And I'm not going to get into what happens to them. Just know the blades are involved.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay.
It's real fucking bad. Also, the parents are on set. It's horrific. It's bad.
He's not in prison? Three people died.
Yeah, I know. We'll get there. Multiple lawsuits are filed against the production crews and the studio. And this accident shines a spotlight on the safety while filmmaking and child labor laws. However, fines were paid, but no one was found guilty of any charges of the deaths.
It's so awful.
Including John Landis. He's still a renowned actor, or not an actor, a director.
Trash. That's so fucked.
It's so fucked. Also, John Landis speaks at Victor Mero's funeral. And he says, quote, "Tragedy strikes in an instant, but film is immortal. Perhaps we can take some solace in the knowledge that through his work on stage, television, and film, Vic lives forever." Like, the way I'd throw something at that man.
I know, if he were. It's
so bad.
These are people of color, and nobody gave a shit.
For the children?
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me a while to find their names, honestly.
I believe it.
This story, I think the blame can easily be handed out to almost everyone who worked on this film, obviously. And looking back on what happened, you can easily see that every step was a dire mistake that was made. But in our next movie, the circumstances leading up to the tragedies are a little more complicated and muddy, I will say.
Okay. I don't know what the fuck any of these movies are.
I guess another one? It's a pretty popular one.
A popular haunted movie?
Yeah.
I already said The Crow and you said it wasn't that.
No.
Those are the only two I really know of, I think.
Oh, really?
That I'm like off the top of my head.
If you were to say like curse movie, this is the movie that pops in my head.
Okay.
For me. It's Poltergeist.
Oh, I didn't know it was supposed to be haunted.
Really?
No.
Okay. Okay. I'm really fucking into it because this one's a doozy.
Okay.
The lore around Poltergeist being cursed has definitely taken on a life of its own. Maybe not with Meg. But a big part of the lore is from actual tragedies that had happened. Quick synopsis of the movie, like we've done the last two times. The story follows the Freeling family, who live in a suburban home where strange and terrifying events begin to occur. The youngest daughter, Carol Ann, starts communicating with spirits through the static on their television. At first, the phenomenon seems harmless, but things quickly take a dark turn when Carol Ann is abducted by the spirits and pulled into another dimension. The family turns to a paranormal investigator and a spiritual medium to help rescue Carol Ann from the malevolent forces that have taken over their home. As the family battles these supernatural entities, they uncover the chilling truth. Their house was built on a desecrated burial ground, and the spirits are vengeful. Have you seen this movie?
I think I have seen this movie. Isn't this the end scene outside the front yard?
I think so.
I just also know that Family Guy did.
Yes, they did.
With the butts.
Yes.
And the TV. Was a TV involved? And Meg's
there
butt.
There was a TV in Meg's butt. Yes.
Yes.
I always think, you know, like there's the classic "they're here" little girl who says that.
Okay.
To Static of the TV. Okay.
Oh, through the TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which they do on Family Guy as well.
When everything's all said and done, like the family emerges outside of the house.
Yes, at one point.
So I'm like,
for sure.
I've seen it, and the house is like fucked.
Yeah.
Like the house is no more.
The house is fucked.
The house is like eats itself.
Yeah. Which they also do in Family Guy.
Okay. Maybe.
It is definitely one of my favorite horror movies. I don't know if it's... I think it was one of the first ones that actually did scare me when I was growing up. I don't think it's like as scary now.
No. But it's scary.
It's a solid, great horror movie. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it. To anyone out there. I'm assuming you'll have. Beg's looking into the mic like if you can see somebody. The teeny tiny audience that's in the microphone we're talking to right now. Most people believe that the curse begins on the actual filming of the movie, where close to the end, the actress Jo Beth Williams, who plays the mom in the movie, she's running outside and falls.
Total babe, too.
She was total babe, yeah. She's running outside and she falls into a pit where the family's playing and building a pool. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
Okay. It's raining heavily during the sequence and the pit is filled with like water and like mud, right? And while Jo Beth is in the water, skeletons begin to float up.
Okay.
The legend and the lore, and the truth actually for this, is that actual human skeletons were used in the sequence.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. How do they stay together? Like, were they pinned together?
Probably, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So, actual human skeletons are used. And people believe because maybe these skeletons were acquired and not the best practices, because it is the 80s, that they had basically desecrated human remains and they caused the movie to become cursed.
Okay.
That's kind of the idea there.
Okay.
Which I will say that using human skeletons in movies is more common than you think.
Mm. Okay.
I guess it's kind of hard to recreate something like that.
Okay.
When you can just go get one.
But how did they stay together, the bones?
I think they just pinned them together or like use like fish line or something.
Okay.
It seems like a big pain in the ass. It's not as unusual as you think, but like that was what was happening here.
Okay.
And real skeletons were used because they were cheaper also.
Wow.
I guess it's cheaper to buy a skeleton than to make one. That's probably what's happening there.
They have 3D printing back then.
No, they did not. It's very true. Jo Beth Williams was also unaware that the skeletons in the shot were real until after filming.
Oh.
I'd be so pissed. Because I don't know if you remember that shot. She's like face to face.
Yeah.
And they're like covered in like stuff.
Yeah, they are all gross. Yeah.
I was just like, you couldn't have, I don't know, told me.
I don't know. What's the point of knowing?
I don't know. I think I'd want to know.
I'd rather never know. I don't know what I wouldn't have thought they were real, though. The whole thing is, even if you're acting and you know it's like there's all these people around you, it's still kind of creepy, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I would think I would just maybe be given that information personally.
Consent.
Maybe. Yeah, consent is real. This happened during filming. People saying, like, this is probably why this film has, like, had such tragedy tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are two real-life tragedies that happen after the filming of the first Poltergeist movie.
Okay. Okay.
The first one being the death of Dominique Dunn. Have you heard this case? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
Okay. Dominique was dating a man named John Sweeney, who had been working as a sous chef for Wolfgang Puck, randomly.
It's a high-end restaurant.
Yeah. So by the time they were dating, Poltergeist had been released and Dominique was becoming a rising star in Hollywood because she did a good job in that movie. However, behind closed doors, John Sweeney was manipulative and physically abusive towards Dominique. But eventually Dominique had enough with John and she ended the relationship and got a restraining order. On October 30th, John Sweeney shows up to Dominique's home because he wants to talk. She tells him to leave, a fight occurs, and John Sweeney strangles Dominique Dunn, leaving her unconscious. Sweeney flees the scene, and Dominique is in a coma and eventually passes away on November 4th, 1982.
My God.
This is the part that really pisses me off. Sweeney is charged with voluntary manslaughter and is only given a 6-year sentence. And he serves less than 4 years.
Oh my God.
And gets out early. And I think part of, like, the curse of the lore with this movie is during this trial, the prosecution couldn't get the judge to do anything for them.
Really?
Yeah. Like there was a moment because John Sweeney had another girlfriend who had been abused by him and they wanted her to testify. the judge wouldn't let it happen. He like made it inadmissible, and just like all these like little things like that were, it could have helped with their case.
Yeah.
And the judge was like, no, no, no. And then the 6-year sentence, everyone was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Jesus.
So I don't know. I mean, but yeah, it's just, he was a straight white man in the 80s. Like, probably a shitty judge. Just, oh, he's just a boy who like made a bad mistake or something in that time.
Strange.
The second major tragedy to occur from these films was the death of Heather O'Rourke during the filming of Poltergeist 3. Heather is the little girl that played Carol Ann. She's the...
They're here. She died in the third one?
Yeah. Like, right after. We'll tell you right now. So, prior to shooting this film, Heather had been diagnosed with Crohn's disease and was actually taking steroids along with other treatments to help with that. Whether or not Heather actually had Crohn's is still heavily debated. And in the third movie, she has like really like puffy chipmunk cheeks.
If she was on steroids.
Because she was on steroids.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty noticeable during that movie for sure. But like, it's just, sad. Yeah, it's very sad. So right after wrapping up the filming of Poltergeist 3, Heather was admitted to the hospital in early 1988. She had been experiencing flu-like symptoms for some time and had been getting progressively worse. Heather had collapsed at home, and during the ambulance ride to the hospital, she suffers from cardiac arrest.
Wow.
She is revived at the hospital. At the hospital, Heather is rushed into the emergency room to remove what the doctors think is an intestinal blockage.
Mm-hmm.
But while on the table, Heather goes into septic shock.
Jesus.
Has another cardiac event and is unable to be revived.
Sorry, was this was after the filming?
This was after she was in, there was Poltergeist 1, 2, and 3. This was after the filming of the third one. She was, okay, she so had been done. In all three.
Okay, so she wasn't like happening while she was working.
No.
Jesus.
I thought originally it was, but it was like right after they wrapped up filming. So after Heather passes away, it is later discovered that she actually had a congenital intestinal issue.
Mm.
Specifically a bowel obstruction caused by congenital stenosis, which is a narrowing of the intestines.
Wow.
And this had gone unnoticed and undiagnosed.
Fuck.
Right. It's just like this weird one-off thing that like she had this weird genetic thing and no one noticed it until it was too late.
Okay.
There are other deaths associated with the Poltergeist films. So there was an actor from the second one. He's a Native American man. He's a shaman in real life, but he's also an actor. He cool. does an exorcism on the Poltergeist 2 set.
Oh.
But eventually, I think a couple years after that, he dies of malnutrition and kidney failure.
Okay.
Randomly at like 53.
Hmm.
And then there's another man who plays this really fucking weird, creepy dude in the second one as well. He gets stomach cancer and passes away. But they wanted to bring him back for the third movie. So they did a death mask on him and made prosthetics and put the prosthetics on a different actor for the third movie. So they like just like didn't recast it. They like, we want the same person. So they're going to add prosthetics to make you look like the guy that passed away.
Wow. Okay.
Which is a little weird. The necessary deaths of these two young girls, though, is really what has made the Poltergeist curse last for decades. I mean, those are two big, significant things that happened, and mm-hmm. I just kind of made like a Cliff Notes version of it.
Totally.
But yeah, it's fucking tragic. Heather was 12 when she passed away, and there was this whole thing at the end of Poltergeist 3, like she passes away. Gary Sherman, the director of that movie, he's like, scrap the film, throw it away. I don't want to see the light of day.
Wow.
Studio's like, no, no, no.
Mm.
We're going to release the film. Also, we need to redo the ending because we don't like the original ending.
How do you fucking do that?
They had a body double of her, and like she just like never shows her face.
My God.
So it's just this little girl with blonde hair, and she's being carried out by her mom.
Okay.
And yeah. It's funny because Gary Sherman, the director, he's like, it was such a fucking stupid ending. He's like, I hated it. He's like, it's just a stupid film. He's like, I wish...
Mm.
And never got released. He was a pallbearer at her funeral, actually. Damn. It was very sad.
It's tragic.
It's so tragic. She was 12.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
So most people who have worked on the Poltergeist films think that the idea of a curse killing these two young actresses is ridiculous. But I think it's easier for some people to explain the tragic deaths of Heather O'Rourke and Dominic Dunne as a curse, because that's easier and less scary than the reality that any of us could have our own lights turned off at any time. Hmm. And be powerless to it. And okay. That is the cursed film. I'm just
gonna leave us with that line. My God.
I had to write some sort of ending.
Fantastic. Snaps.
Thanks. Happy Halloween, guys. It's really bad. Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, guys. I guess I don't fucking know.
Spooky, spooky skeletons.
Jackass.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a first of three.
Four. I'm ready.
We're getting into it.
Let's get into it.
Halloween season,
baby.
You
better scare the fuck out of me next time, okay? For real. Or the next time.
No, I do truly have one. I think we'll scare the fuck out of you.
I'm ready.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I hope so. I want to be waking up at night thinking about it.
No, I'm not going to try to like it. It's a good one, though. I do think it's a good one. But yeah, there are so many other cursed movies. Like you said, you mentioned The Crow. It's a big one.
It's a big one. And what was the other one I said?
Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that one was cursed, but I thought it was. I just know people were like, I think all this paint and shit that you're putting on me is uncomfortable. And I think I'm about to pass out wearing this lion suit.
Oh, or the woman who played the Wicked Witch of the West.
Was she probably like a radium girl? I don't know. All kind of, it was all just trash.
Yeah.
They were all, it's just like,
it was 1935.
Scary place.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. It's a really bad place to be making films, but
God bless them.
Yeah. Sorry, Judy Garland. We really let you down.
Poor Judy.
Poor Judy. That's episode one of our Halloween season.
Thank you.
Hope you guys have a good Halloween so far. Maybe you've carved a pumpkin.
Already?
Maybe.
My God. When are you going to start carving?
I don't know. We need to figure it out.
Okay. When are we carving?
We talked about this.
I do want to decorate my front.
Yeah.
One of these days.
They put some decorations. Mm-hmm. Got yourself some sort of pumpkin themed thing.
Ooh, Salt and Straw has a apple cider donut.
Ice cream?
Mm-hmm. Oh. And I've seen what they do, where they just dump a fuck ton of apple cider donuts right in there.
Nice.
And just let it churn them up.
Yeah, go get yourself a little...
And a little caramel.
Yeah, a little fall treat. Mm-hmm. Get yourself some fall treats. Enjoy the season.
All right. It's still morning summer, but fine. I'll get there eventually.
Oh, you'll be fine. I miss it. It's been beautiful out. The only day it rained this week was at the fucking Orville Peck concert in downpour.
It really rained so hard that day. Like,
it was a major bummer, but it was still worth it.
I looked outside and was like, oh my God.
It was not ideal.
That's fun.
That's for sure.
That's what happens when you go outside and do stuff. Get rained on.
That's not true all the time. Anyways. Yeah, we will see you guys next week. We will have more spookier tales. I mean, like, this podcast is all just spooky shit, but I'm trying to get you some extra spooky.
Please scare me.
Some XXL spookiness. All right.
BB spooky.
BB spooky. What the hell are you talking about?
Nothing. Okay. You said XXL. I'm thinking BBD. There we go. You did it.
It's not my fault. That is absolutely not my fault. You cannot put that one on me.
Thanks for listening.
Clearly, we're in two different gutters. Anyways, until next time. I'm not editing that out. That's staying in. You can fuck off.
Hi, when you make me explain it, my God. Okay. Stay grimly curious. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.